Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. I want to talk to you about the hyssop branch. Now, I know that you were probably sitting at your breakfast table this morning praying that Brother Cal would preach on the hyssop branch. I get all that. But there are some wonderful truths taken from John 19. So about the hyssop branch. And then we're going to go from John 19 over to Exodus 12. So if you'll be finding those two sets of scriptures, John 19, 28, 29, and 30. And then we're going to jump over to Exodus. All right? And then stand when you find those scriptures. We want to honor God's word as best we can. All right. First of all, John 19. Let me start up there in verse 28 because it makes more sense if we begin there. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, said, "I thirst." Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with some sour wine, put it on hyssop. Say that word with me. Hyssop. And put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had finished the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Now, I want you to see where this is coming from. Go way back to the Old Testament, to the book of Exodus, chapter 12. And I want you to hear these verses. Exodus chapter 12, verses 22 and 23. If you're there, say amen. Amen. If you're not, say, "I don't know where Exodus is." All right. Exodus 22, "And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel," that's the cross piece over the head of the door, okay? Everybody with me? "And the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you." Father, may you rightly divide the word of your truth today through your servant. I desire to be used today, but get me out of the way. We would see Jesus today, Father. We need to hear from heaven. And so I pray that you might teach us today about the blood. We need to keep preaching about the blood and keep singing about the blood. And we need to keep sharing the blood. And Lord, it's the blood, it's the blood, it's the blood of Jesus that cleanses and makes us white as snow. We love you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. All God's children said, amen. Please be seated. The hyssop branch. We were over in Israel. Like y'all probably getting tired of hearing how we were over in Israel. I get that. But we the hyssop plant that we were reading about in the scriptures is very prevalent over in Israel. It's everywhere. And it's a big leafy bush that's kind of has a spongy appearance to it, and it absorbs liquids very well. And it grows everywhere. And the hyssop was used in a lot of those Old Testament sacrifices and ceremonies as well for the sprinkling of the blood, like we'll talk about here in just a minute. And then it's also used over in the New Testament for the cleansing of lepers and other things. But what I want you to get this morning is that the hyssop branch is a connection between the blood of those Old Testament sacrifices and the blood of Jesus. There's a huge connection there, and I don't want you to miss it. And so it's, you do know it's necessary to talk about the blood from time to time. We're having the Lord's Supper here in a few minutes. And I thought this would be very appropriate to talk about the blood this morning. And the story that we read over in Exodus 12 was about the very first Passover and how the blood of a lamb was spread and sprinkled with a hyssop plant, a hyssop bush, a hyssop branch over the crosspiece of those Israelite doors and then over the doorposts. And every house that had the blood over those doorposts, that family was covered and protected by the blood of that lamb. And so this morning, there's several truths that we can take from the hyssop plant and apply it to the blood of Jesus. If you're excited about a hyssop plant, say amen. Now let's all repent of lying today. But this is really going to make it. You got to stay with me today, okay? We're going to get somewhere. First of all, the first thing that hyssop branch teaches us is that the blood of Jesus is special blood. The blood of Jesus is special blood. Now, I don't know if y'all have ever been around blood, a lot of blood at a time, but how many of you love to hunt? Come on now, there's a lot more of y'all that like to hunt. I don't see y'all in deer season, so. But you know, when you kill a deer, the work's just beginning, right? And then you skin that deer, and then you do everything. I don't want to get real gory here this morning, but there's a special blood stinks, right? Can you smell it? And so. Back in the Old Testament, in order for a person's sins to be forgiven, blood had to be, an animal had to be killed. And in that first Passover, in which God set the Israelites free from Egypt, the death angel was coming over Egypt. And in order for you and your family to be protected, you had to take the life of a little lamb, a male yearling, or a goat, small kid goat, and kill that lamb, and then drain the blood out of that animal into a basin, and then get a hyssop plant and hyssop brush or bush and paint it over the, sprinkle it and spread it all over the doorpost so that your family could be protected. Now that lamb was taken up and put in a pen for 14 days. And that lamb had to be inspected for 4 days. You'll see this here in a minute. And you couldn't just go out and get, you know, when I was in Wayne County for several years, one of the cattle farmers down there, Will, had a special cattle pen where he kept all his crippled cattle. And rumor had it that McDonald's would show up once a month. I don't know if that's true or not, but what we're talking about here is when those lambs were chosen, they had to be very special lambs. They were to be a year old, a kid goat, or a small lamb. It had to be a male, and there couldn't have any disease, any marks on it, any blemishes. It had to be perfect in every way. And then the life of that lamb had to be taken, and they would, you know, pull the chin up, and can't you just hear those lambs? You know, and then they would. I mean, this was something that I think God wanted people to know how serious sin is, and so the blood of this special lamb had to be taken during the Passover. And Exodus 12 and verse 5 says, "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats." And so at the end of the 4 days, after that inspection, made sure that lamb was special and make sure that lamb was perfect, then the life of that lamb was taken. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, listen to this. "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. How many of you know that the blood of Jesus is special blood? His blood was not tainted. His blood was not stained and marred and scarred with sin. Jesus was the... Do you remember what John the Baptist said? He's down along the banks of the Jordan River, and all of a sudden he sees his cousin Jesus coming towards him. Do you remember what John the Baptist said? Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the whole world. There's something special about the blood of Jesus, and that something special is his blood was sinless. Somebody got to get that today. His blood was special. He became the sacrifice. Nothing else ever needs to be done for you to be forgiven of your sin, because Jesus, his blood is special, and it covers and washes away all sin. And aren't you thankful? How many of you would like to have to go to a sheep pen somewhere this morning and purchase a little lamb? And not just today, you'd have to do that every day, because you see, sin keeps coming around. But hallelujah, the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin once and for all. And so that blood was applied that first Passover with the hyssop branch, and it teaches us that the blood of Jesus is special blood. Secondly, it teaches us that the blood of Jesus was shed blood. I think probably the clearest picture of the cross in... we're just having a good Bible study this morning. Okay? The clearest picture we have of the cross in the Old Testament is Isaiah 53. And Isaiah 53 tells us that Jesus was beaten so badly and whipped and everything that you couldn't even recognize him. His appearance was so marred, even before they got him to the cross, that he was unrecognizable. Has anybody ever hit you in the face with their fist, guys? Or maybe some of you girls, I don't know. One of the worst fights I ever saw was two women. Y'all don't know how to take me, do you? You really don't. No. They were fighting over a boy, though. But what Isaiah tells us, and he prophesied this 700 years before the cross ever took place. And they plucked out his beard. They hit him in the face. I mean, he was bleeding profusely from the mouth, from his nose, blood coming out of his ears. They placed a crown of thorns on his head. His head was bleeding. Pilate had him scourged. They hit him 39 times with a cat of nine tails. And by the time they finished with Jesus, his back and his abdomen was bleeding profusely. And then they carried him to the cross. And they drove what amounts to railroad spikes between his wrists and his feet. There weren't just drops of blood at the cross. There were pools of blood. He shed his blood. Now Exodus 12:6 says this about the Passover. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And so at that first Passover, who was responsible for the death of that little lamb? What does it say? The whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. Who was responsible for the death of those lambs? The whole congregation. All the people of Israel. Mel Gibson had it right. You know, how many of you saw the movie The Passion of the Christ? I always try to watch it during Easter season. And I want to tell you, every single one of us is guilty before God. Our sin put him on the cross. Our sins is what caused him to suffer and bleed and die. Jesus shed his precious, precious blood. Now, on the doorposts of those houses back over in Exodus at the Passover, the blood had to be applied in order for the family to be saved. The blood had to be applied by that hyssop bush, that hyssop branch. And so there's tremendous truth right there for us. But why did that blood need to be applied to the doorpost? So the family, those families of Israel could be saved. The death angel was passing over. And I want to tell you, we live in a culture of death today, do we not? I mean, the nursing homes remind us, the hospitals, the assisted living homes, the cemeteries, the funeral homes. I mean, we are surrounded by death. It's everywhere we go. We're living in a land of death. Death plagues us. And I want to ask you today, are you prepared to die? Because death is coming for every one of us. If Jesus tarries, we're all going to die. I know you didn't come here to hear that today, but that's biblical gospel truth. We're all going to die. The Egyptians were all under the condemnation of death, but hallelujah! The Israelites were under the protection of the blood. And so everybody who had the blood over their doorpost was covered. The death angel came and looked and said, you're all right. You're covered by the blood. And so the blood of Jesus protects us. I said the blood of Jesus protects us. It saves us. It protects us. If you're under the blood of Jesus, death may take your body, but death cannot take your soul. Hallelujah. What can wash away my sin? What can make me whole again? That's right. In 1 John 1:7 says, the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sins on a daily basis. The blood of Jesus not only saves us, but it cleanses us. We're going to have the sit down at the Lord's table here in a few minutes. And I'm so thankful for the blood of Jesus. Because when you sit down at the table, God begins to pinpoint sin in our life. The Bible says if we say we have no sin, we lie. You know, just because you're a believer, just because you came to Christ, doesn't mean you're not going to sin again, right? And so that's where the blood of Jesus is applied. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It cleanses from all sin. And so we're going to confess our sins and turn from our sins here in just a minute. And I'm so grateful. As soon as you confess and turn from a change of the mind, a change of the will, a turning from sin and turning to God, right then, the blood of Jesus takes over and cleanses you and forgives you of all sin. Isn't that wonderful? And then I like what, listen to what Revelation 12 says. Verse 11 says, you don't have to go there, I'll get there for you. Revelation 12, 11 says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Did you know you've got power over sin, Satan, and self today? It's the blood of Jesus. You see, we're not only saved from the penalty of sin, we are being saved from the power of sin. You've got power to live the Christian life. The blood of Jesus gives us that power. Satan is no match for the blood. Tell him that from time to time. Satan, you're no match for the blood of Jesus. There is power, 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 wonder-working power in the precious blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. And so that blood had to be shed. There's one final truth, and this is the one I wanted to get to today. There's one final tremendous applicational truth about the hyssop plant. It not only teaches us that the blood of Jesus is special, it teaches us that the blood of Jesus was shed, but it teaches us that the blood of Jesus was sprinkled. Listen to Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9. You're going to like this verse, I promise you. Somebody might even shout in a Baptist church. Hebrews 9. verse 21 says, "Then likewise he," the Lord, "sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And without shedding of blood, there is no remission." There is no forgiveness of sin. Now, in order for the blood to save, it had to be applied. And so those Israelites, when that Israelite patriarch of that family killed that lamb and the blood was drained out into a basin, that wasn't enough. That blood had to be applied to the doorpost. And that's where he, by faith, grabbed that hyssop plant and dipped and dopped it down in that basin of blood and then spread it, sprinkled it, whatever you want to call that, over the doorposts of their home. And have y'all ever read in Leviticus 14? How many of you have ever even been in Leviticus? It's a tough book, but it's one of Billy Walker's favorites. I'm telling you, Billy's special. But Leviticus 14 talks about how y'all have y'all heard the term leprosy? Leprosy? Well, when a leper was supposedly cleansed in the Old Testament, he had to go find a priest so that the priest could declare that he had been made clean. And so the leper would find the priest and they would go outside of camp. And the priest would take two living birds, some cedar wood, some hyssop, and a scarlet thread, and a vessel. And so what the priest would do, he would look at the leper and his leprosy, and if it was gone, and he would take these two living birds, and he would kill one of the birds and place that bird under some running water, and the blood and the water would from that dead bird would go down into this vessel. Okay, y'all with me so far? So one of the birds was killed and the blood went down into this vessel. And then he would take that hyssop branch or that hyssop bush and attach it to the cedar wood and take that scarlet thread and tie it there. And then he would take that hyssop and dab it and dop it down into that vessel where the blood and the water was mixed and then sprinkle it on the leper seven times. And then he would take that living bird and with the hyssop would dab the blood on that living bird. And they would go out into a field and he would set that living bird free. And that bird would begin to fly as it went up and the blood would come sprinkling down. And you see that leper, what a sacred scene that must have been. And as the leper saw that wonderful picture of his salvation, as the blood came sprinkling down from that bird, "Oh, there goes my basis of cleansing. It's the blood, it's the blood, it's the blood." And now, because the same blood that set that bird free, I can hear the leper shouting, "That same blood has set me free. I'm clean, I'm clean, I'm clean." Isn't that a wonderful picture of our salvation? It took faith to apply that blood. And it takes faith today to apply the blood of Jesus. Psalm 51:7 says, "Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow." And so I've said all that this morning to say this. Are your sins under the blood today? You know, whenever I get to talking to people and we start talking about salvation, boy, some people get really, really stressed and they start thinking and I'll ask a question like, "Well, do you believe in heaven?" "Oh, yeah. Are you going to heaven?" "Well, yeah, I think so." "Well, why do you think you're going to heaven?" "Because I've been a good person." I've done a lot of good things. And surely our good God would let a good person go to heaven. When I start hearing stuff like that, man, a red flag goes up. Because the only reason that I've been made whole, the only reason God's going to let me into heaven is because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, our Savior. And so I want to ask everybody in here, are your sins under the blood today? Are they? Do you know so? Have you done what the Bible says do? Have you repented of your sin? And by faith, placed everything that you are, all of your trust, your passion, and your love in and on the Lord Jesus Christ. Period. Have you done that? Is He the Lord of your life? I want to tell you what. On Judgment Day, the Bible says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He has to be received as Lord of your life. He's already Savior. He's already done that. But is He the Lord of your life? And when it comes my time to die and your time to die, people die in one of two ways. If you die in Jesus, all of your sins are covered and washed away by the blood. But if you die in your sin, you're going to pay for your sin for all of eternity. Why would you want to do that when Jesus has come to set us free? Let's pray together. I want to pray for us, but before I do, I want this time to be a time of response, and then we're going to sit down at the Lord's table symbolically. We're going to enjoy communion together, but here's the deal. Do you know that you've been born again? I'm not asking, are you perfect? I'm not asking, are you sinless? I'm asking, have you received Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Well, if you have, all your sins are under the blood. And here's the second thing I want to ask you. Is there unconfessed, unrepented sin in your life today? That's one of the reasons God ordained the Lord's Supper, communion, to get right with God. And so today, whatever it is that you need to do, you can do that right there in your seat. I'll be down front here as we prepare and confess our sin and turn from our sin. Some of you need to be saved so you can take the Lord's Supper today. Marty's going to play, and we're just going to have a season, a time of responding to the Lord's call on our life. You just bow your head and you do business with the Lord right now. You got unconfessed sin? Turn from it. Confess it to Him and receive His cleansing. If you're not sure about your salvation today, if you were to die, something were to happen, you don't know where you'd spend eternity, there isn't enough demons in hell that would keep me in your seat today. I'm here at the front to receive you and talk to you, whatever we need to do. Father, during this time of soul searching, don't let anybody leave here lost. And Lord, don't let a believer leave here with sin in his or her life. Oh God, help us to turn from this mess and to receive there's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, where sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stain. You do what you need to during this time, Lord. And we promise to give you all the praise in Jesus' name. You pray, you talk to the Lord. If you need to come, I'm here.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.